Scripture reading this evening be from 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him.
Good to be with you this morning, or tonight rather. I'm glad that you're here tonight and hope that you had a good, peaceful, and restful afternoon. This morning, if you weren't here, we began to talk about being born again. And you might recall, if you were here, we talked about the same thing on last week. But at that time, we talked about how to be born again. And this morning, we emphasized the identifying marks of being born again. One of the things that we emphasized is the fact that these marks that identify the person who is born again are marks that are set forth in the Word of God. They're not things that we have just made up. It's not just something that I have concocted in my own mind, but they're things that the Bible specifically says. So that means that all of us, if we have been born again, should have these identifying marks. And so we looked this morning at three things. We looked at practicing righteousness. And we emphasized that this was an ongoing situation, not an isolated act of righteousness. And we emphasized that righteousness has to do with the idea of doing all that God requires. And so, in other words, the one who is born again lives by the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2 at verse 29 is the verse that we looked at. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. And then number 2, we said that the one who is born again will refuse to practice sin. And that's kind of tied into the last point. Obviously, if it is the case that we are practicing righteousness, then by nature, we will refuse to practice sin. But we emphasize the mental part of that. Lawlessness points to a mentality. As those who have been born again, we simply determine that we're not going to live in sin. We're not going to make sin a habit. We might sin from time to time. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we'll not wallow in sin. We'll not make sin a major in our life. We will not practice sin. And the verse for that is 1 John 3 at verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. That is the key part of that. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. And John, again, is assuming that we understand that that is has to do with the seed abiding in us. As long as his word abides in us, then we will not practice sin. Then number 3, we looked at loving the brethren. The verse for that is in the next chapter, 1 John 4 at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born and has been born of God and knows God. Now, that last point is, again, just as important as the first two. And it is critical that we love one another and that we demonstrate love and that, again, we practice love. And why should we do that? We looked at three things. First of all, God's nature. God is love. That's the essence of his being. We've been born again. He's our heavenly Father. We should figuratively share his DNA. If he loves, if God is love, then we ought to love as well. And then we looked at God's gift. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And when we look at all that God has done for us, then certainly it ought to motivate us to love the way He loves. And then we look at God's present activity at verse 12 specifically, that as long as we love one another, He abides in us. And so that's good motivation for us to love. But that is an identifying mark. So we looked at those three things. Now we want to look at two more things. Fortunate for you, I just couldn't fit this into one sermon. And so if I could have, I would have, but I did not. And so I won't keep you that long here tonight, but we want to look at these last two marks, and they're very important. The fourth one is that the one who is born again will continue to believe in Jesus. Faith will be an ongoing presence in his life. And again, the scripture reading for tonight, 1 John 5 at verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Now, I have to look at a few technical things first. If you're familiar with Calvinism, I know most of you are. We talk about that a lot. But also with the Reformed Baptist Church, most of them believe that we're born in sin. And that we can't even believe unless we have some kind of outpouring of the Spirit. Now, you may not know, some of you may know, that this is one of their favorite verses. They believe, because of the wording of this, that it proves that we are actually born again, that we are regenerated before we believe. And I'll put up just quickly a Baptist that I've had some correspondence with, particularly when I was back in Louisville, Billy Jenkins, but this is what he says. Now notice this. Regeneration precedes faith. And they have to believe that because they're Calvinistic. Again, we're born in sin, totally depraved, so we can't do anything good from a spiritual standpoint. We can't even believe in Jesus. And so before we can even believe in Jesus, we have to be regenerated. That takes place when God zaps us with the Holy Spirit. And so regeneration precedes faith. That's what they believe. I'm not misrepresenting them. This is his quote. And where does he go to prove that? 1 John 5 at verse 1. And this is what he says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whomever has been born of him. So he quotes that passage. And then he says, when John says, has been born of him, it is a perfect passive indicative, meaning that the action has already taken place. That is, the being born again has already taken place in the past, which has real results in the present. Therefore, now he goes on to say, and this is kind of interesting, therefore, when the people on the day of Pentecost got baptized, which tells you he kind of concedes that baptism is a part of the process of being born again, because he's equating what happened on the day of Pentecost with what John says here, has been born of God. So that's an interesting concession on his part. But anyway, he says, therefore, when the people on the day of Pentecost got baptized, they were already saved. And that's typical Baptist doctrine, that baptism is for believers, for those, that is, who have already been saved. It's an outward sign of an inward grace, as you have often heard them say. And so, but that's what they believe. And so all the evidence of that is the fact that has been born here, as he puts it, is a perfect passive indicative, meaning it already happened in the past. That is, it happened before the belief. Well, the truth is, he's right about that. What he's wrong about is what the belief is all about. He's indicating that the belief has to do, in 1 John 5 at verse 1, that the belief has to do with one's initial belief when he or she hears the gospel of Christ. But that's not what John is talking about at all. When we go back to 1 John 5 at verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. But what belief is that referring to? It's not referring to initial faith. It's referring to, again, the ongoing faith in the life of every individual who has been born again. And that is the mark of identification. And I know that because when it comes down to the initial faith, that comes before baptism. And it certainly comes before salvation or before regeneration, not after. And we know that because Jesus tells us so. Mark 16 at verse 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. As we have pointed out over the years, the order of things matter. How Jesus put this matters. Whoever believes and is baptized, belief comes before the baptism, which is where we are born again, and it also comes before the salvation. And so Mr. Jenkins was wrong when he said that the regeneration takes place before the new birth and before the belief. He just got the kind of belief wrong. And so Jesus is clear about this. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Now watch this. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And so not only does belief come before salvation, the unbelief comes before the condemnation, which does away with the whole reason of having to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the first place. The point is, an individual is not condemned before he or she refuses to believe, something that a person can only do when they reach the age of accountability. Ergo, we are not born in sin as he wants to suggest and as Calvinists suggest. And so we understand, when you think of 1 John chapter 5 at verse 1, yes, that belief there is very important. And that belief comes after we're born again. But it's not the initial faith. It is the ongoing faith that we have as Christians, what we live with every day. Jesus spoke about it in John, in 1 John 1 and at verse 12. Now watch this and watch the order and how all this works out. He says, but as many as received him. Now when you look at that receiving, this includes the initial belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You remember in John chapter 1, the situation is being set forth by John that the world is rejecting Jesus. In fact, he came into his own, John says, and his own received him not. That is the Jews. But there were some who did receive him. They were the ones who heard the word of God and believed that he was the Christ. They had that initial faith. And so it says with regard to them that he gave them the right to become the children of God. When did that happen? When they obeyed the gospel. And they were born of the water and of the Spirit. And as a result of that, then they became children of God. And notice about these children of God, he says about them, to those who believe in his name. That's the ongoing faith. It's a present active verb denoting ongoing action. And those are the individuals who are going to be saved. John 3 and at verse 16, we all know that passage that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That is not something that only takes place when one obeys the gospel and then just stops. It's ongoing. And this is an identifying mark of those of us who have been born again. We believe in Jesus, and we believe in Jesus every day. And it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It doesn't matter if we're having a good day or a bad day. We believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter if we get a promotion on the job or we get laid off. We believe in Jesus every day. It doesn't matter if the sun is shining or the rain is pouring. We believe in Jesus every single day. And in fact, our faith is increasing all the time because that seed abides in us, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is a real mark of identification with regard to those who have been born again. They continue to increase in faith no matter what's going on around them. They continue to get stronger and stronger, and they believe in Jesus no matter what. And you know who understands that? Calvinists may not understand that, perhaps. It appears that they don't by their teaching. The Reformed Baptists may not understand that. But I tell you who does, the devil does. He knows the power of the Word of God. And he doesn't want you to have that word. He doesn't want that seed to abide in you. In fact, turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 8 just for a moment. In Luke, the 8th chapter, we read a part of the parable of the sower. And notice at verse 11. Luke chapter 8 and at verse 11. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 11. It says this. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Why does he do that? So that they may not believe and be saved. Now, in this case, in the parable of the sower, he's basically here talking about the initial faith and the pathway soil. You know, that's the one that's stomped on and the seed doesn't really penetrate there. And so it's like the birds come and snatch the seed. That's what the devil does. He comes and tries to snatch the seed away. The fact of the matter is the devil doesn't stop doing that after your initial faith. He continues to work on us. He does everything he can to influence us in one way or the other, to give up the word of God because he knows it produces faith and he knows faith produces salvation. And we can't let him win that battle. We have to keep that word in our hearts, in our minds. We have to continue to study and to read the Bible and to meditate and ruminate upon the word of God. Because if we lose that seed, we're ultimately going to lose our faith and the devil's going to win. But a sign of someone who has been born again, an identifying mark, is that that doesn't happen. Instead, we continue to believe in Jesus, we hang on to the Word of God, and we increase in faith all of the time. Does that describe you? If not, as we have been saying, it may be an indication that you have sold your birthright. Make sure that doesn't happen. You have been born again. If you have obeyed the gospel of Christ, now continue to grow and go forward and add to your faith and allow your faith to become stronger and stronger and don't let the devil take it away from you. It's an identifying mark of one who is born again. Then the final one quickly is overcoming the world. In the next chapter of John, in 1 John chapter 5 and at verse 4, it says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So once again, we see the power of faith. Obviously, this is the ongoing faith that we as children of God have. And it allows us to overcome the world. You ought to do everything you can to make sure that you are indeed overcoming, gaining the victory over the world. We said before various lessons that the world that is under consideration in passages like this is that realm where the devil rules. The realm of ungodliness and unrighteousness. The realm of sinfulness. That's the world. And we as Christians, as those who have been born again, we've overcome Satan and sin in the world. We're overcomers. If you're a child of God, you're an overcomer. Paul, in the great passage in Romans chapter 8 at verse 37 says that we are more than conquerors in Christ. That's what we are. Not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. We have achieved a decisive victory over Satan and sin. And that's a characteristic of us, an identifying mark. We've overcome that realm of ungodliness and unrighteousness. We abstain from it. We have gained victory Ovid. That's the world that is under consideration. The world that John, that Paul says the devil is the God over. And so we have to make sure we're not giving in to the world. How might we do that? We have pointed out over the years different things that are really manifestations of loving the world. We don't have time tonight to look at them in detail, but things like materialism. We've overcome that. Why? Because we do what Paul tells us to do. We seek those things that are above, not things that are on this earth. Now there are some Christians, there are some children of God who have sold their birthright. We saw this last week because they begin to place more importance upon the physical than the spiritual. That's a problem. When you do that, you stop overcoming. You lose that mark that identifies you as a born again individual. So we have to make sure that we continue to conquer the world. There's things like certain kinds of recreation. We're really born again. We don't get involved in ungodliness in the form of any kind of recreation. Whatever recreation, nothing wrong with recreation, but whatever recreation we engage in, it's not contrary to the will of God. Because we're conquerors. We don't give in to the world. It can involve our associations. It can involve our speech. It can involve our dress. The list goes on. And we're warned over and over about these things. You know the passage well. Romans 12 and at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. It's the same world under consideration. Don't act like the ungodly. Don't try to be popular with the people. Don't worry about power and prestige in this world. Don't conform to the world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's how you continue to be a conqueror. I don't think you have to be just like the world around you. Forget about popularity. Again, as I've often said, you don't have to act like and dress like and talk like the world. Don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be a peculiar people. That's what we are. We're strange in the eyes of the world. But that's all right, because we're conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We have overcome the world. Paul did. He put it like this in Galatians 6 and at verse 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul wasn't attracted to the world at all. You want to talk about a trait of one who has been born again, of one who is the new creature that we sung about just a few minutes ago. It's the individual who is not allured by the different temptations of the world because he or she has crucified the world. And that's what Paul did. That's what allowed him to be an overcomer. And that's what we must do. It's an identifying mark of the one who has been born again and one who refuses to sell his birthright. We're overcomers. That's what we are. And so, as we think about all of these things from the book of John, 1 John particularly, these are the things that identify you as one who has been born again. Some of these things are modified by different statements that are made that we've even looked at during the course of this lesson. But in general, these are the kind of characteristics. These are the marks that identify you as one who has been born again. You practice righteousness. You refuse to practice sin. You love the brethren. You continue to believe in Jesus every day, and you are an overcomer. You don't give in to the temptation of the world. You crucify the world because you have been born again. Does it look like this list describes you? Maybe you have never received Jesus, as we saw in John chapter 1. Maybe you have been like the masses of people, the world, the majority of people in the world, and you refuse to receive Jesus. You can turn that all around. He is that Christ, the Son of the living God. As Peter said in John chapter 6, he has the words of eternal life. And the fact of the matter is, no one else has those words but Jesus. You can receive them. You can believe in him. And God will give you the right. He will give you the power. He will give you the authority to be one of his children. But you have to obey the gospel of Christ. And then hold on to your faith and be faithful unto death, Revelation 2, and at verse 10. And as an overcomer, you'll have a home in heaven after a while. But these traits, these marks should identify you. They should all be something that's familiar to you. You should look at this list and say, yes, I'm not perfect in any of these areas. I'm still trying to grow and get better. But that describes me because I've been born again. I hope that you have been, and if you haven't, I hope you do something about it. Obey the gospel, repent, and be baptized. Do it right now as we together stand.